Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's a key member of most people's Nerd Alliance. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm Rob Cisternino, and we have a really fun show today because Kelly Wentworth is going to be joining us to recap the Merge episode of Millennials versus Gen X. So we will get her back with us here in just a couple of moments. Lots of stuff already up on the website about this week's episode, including our Survivor Know-It-Alls with Josh Wigler. And also my exit interview with Michelle Schubert. Both those shows are up and available for you to listen to. I also filled in for Stephen Fishback on the People blog this week, which I tweeted out a link to that. But hopefully we can get a link to for you for that on the website as well. Coming up next after this show, I'm going to be doing your voicemails, getting into all of your feedback on this week's show from Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions winner, poker player, and all-around funny guy, Alex Jacob, will be joining me to talk through all that on our next show. So looking forward to getting into that with him. One last thing before we get Kelly on the line. Really do appreciate you guys using our link for Amazon.com this time of year. It really does help support the podcast and doesn't cost you any extra money when you use our link. So many countdown to Black Friday deals already up on Amazon.com. So avoid the mall this holiday season and use our link at Amazon.com. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our recap guest, and I'm very excited always to have back with us here on the podcast, of course, the two-time survivor and the sneaky underdog, Kelly Wentworth is back. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Very good, Kelly. And I'm very excited to talk with you because I feel like that this has been a long time coming for us to do this, that I haven't talked to you on a podcast, I think, since we went back through everything from Cambodia back in, I guess that was like January.
Yeah, I think so. And then I haven't done a recap with you since...
since we were on with Farm Guy 69
yes!
back in Worlds Apart. Yeah.
Yes. That was a long time ago, it seems.
Yeah, it really was. And so very excited to have you back. And I'm very interested to get your take on a lot of things because I feel like that you have been, at least through social media, relatively quiet about all of this season. And really, you know, we didn't hear from you a lot last season.
I know. Well, I wanted to become a fan again because after Cambodia, it was a lot, which I'm sure a lot of people said that were on that season. And so I wanted to like love Survivor again. And so I just took a huge break from social media. And this season, actually, a lot of episodes I haven't even been able to watch when it airs. I've just been traveling for work and all this other stuff. So I haven't really been tweeting in like real time, I guess. So that's why I've been a little quiet.
Yeah, I thought that I had you figured out where you were like very active in the Survivor community. And then you went back on the show and then really, okay, now then you were at the height of your popularity and then you really like took a step back. And it was very not something I saw coming.
Well, you never know what you're going to get, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very interested to get your take on everything. How's everything going in real life?
Everything is good. Yeah, it's, you know, nothing new to report, really. Getting married this summer, I think, super low key. And that's it. I mean, the world just keeps going on. We had this crazy election, which we don't need to get into.
This is a nice distraction for anybody. Anybody who wants to talk about the election, they're on Facebook talking about it right now.
Yes,
we're going to take a break from that here today.
I'm so glad this is a nice break for sure from all of that drama.
Yes, yes. So with that, the only transition we're going to be talking about is the transition from three tribes to one tribe here today.
Yes, although we could start trending Taylor for president.
Well,
look it up.
He did say he was the first to call, hey, with this electoral college, the millennials are going to get rid of it. So again, yeah. But that's last week's show.
Okay, it's over.
All right, so Kelly, let's get into the millennials versus Gen Xers. And so this season, have you been enjoying it?
You know, Rob, I have enjoyed it. I have to say... and not to go in the past, but I really enjoyed last season. And so this season I've enjoyed, but it's been a little lackluster. Like I enjoyed the Michaela boot. That was awesome. But overall, I'm just not really like rooting for anybody right now. So maybe in the next few weeks, someone will kind of take the lead on that. But it's just been okay for me so far.
Why? Who was your person that you were really behind last season?
I loved Aubrey. I love Ty. But I was a big Aubrey supporter. But yeah, we'll leave that. We'll leave that there.
Okay, yeah. So then here we come into this season, and it's been, I thought, a little slow out of the gate, but I've really been enjoying it these last couple of weeks. I think that when we go back and look at this, I think that post-swap, all three of the episodes after the swap were really strong, and then last night's episode I thought was fun. And so this is a very complicated merge at 13, not unlike what you guys went through in Survivor Cambodia. Have you seen any similarities to that merge in this one?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think in any other, you know, newbie season, the merge has been that big. I mean, am I wrong here? Like, it seems like a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I don't think that we've ever had a merge at 13 before in a first time season. I think that we've had a few at 12, but I don't know if we've had another one at 13, and maybe somebody's screaming at their iPhone right now, but I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's just a lot of people. And so I know in Cambodia, there were just so many different people you were trying to keep track of, who's with who, you know, where are the votes going to fall? And so I felt this was a very similar situation. And then it kind of ended up where you had four, you know, those three or four people voting together. And that was the same in Cambodia. It was like there was a small group that was with Cass that wanted to vote against the other side. But then you just didn't have the numbers. Yeah. And so I feel like I kind of wish that Michelle would have seen that a little bit. And like, what if she would have gone to the other side and said, or to Hannah and said, hey, like, I'll vote with you guys or whatever to get Jay or Taylor out. So it's just an interesting time in the game.
Well, it's interesting in terms of Michelle, and I spoke with her in the exit interview today where she said that she sort of like consciously took like a very passive position going into this merge, where I think that she sort of felt like, okay, well, if I could just make myself into the smallest target and I'm not really seen as somebody who's scheming right now, there's 13 people here. What are the chances that it's going to be me at that tribal council? And I know that going into that merge in Cambodia, is that something that you thought about in terms of like, there's so many big targets out here. If I could sort of like not make myself be at the top of the radar, then my name won't come up for a while.
Yeah, of course, that's something you think about. But there's just so many different ideas and so many different ways that people could go that you can never stop trying. I mean, you can't just sit back and say, oh, well, I'm just going to see what happens here. Like, I think she should have been a little more proactive in that sense. And I haven't listened to her exit interview with you yet, so I'm curious to hear her thoughts completely. Mm-hmm. But I think, I don't know, I just think you have to be the one in control of your own game, you know? Like, you can't just hope that the numbers are going to go this way or they're going to go that way. I mean, you kind of have to decide for yourself, I guess.
The thing that I'm looking at with this alliance of, there were 9 people that ended up voting against Michelle last night, and the similar alliance that was sort of voting against you, I believe famously 9 votes cast against you that were canceled out with a hidden immunity idol. An alliance of 9 is not an alliance, right? I mean, that's just too big of a number to maintain. So how do the people that are not in that group start to feel around for where the cracks are in the 9?
Oh, I mean, it's so complicated because, as I think it was Zeke said, or maybe it was David, I don't remember, honestly, there's so many people. But yeah, I mean, when you go after the swap, you start to get all those different relationships. So I think the biggest thing for the people that are in the smaller groups is to figure out like, who do they have beyond that? And I feel like right now they're super closed off. It's like, Jay's like, I have Will and I have Taylor, but you can't be so in this box, you know? And for me, like I feel similar. I feel like I had a similar situation in that I was, you know, stayed with Abby and Sierra and that group. And so I had to find ways to make relationships with other people and just figure out like who they wanted. You know, at that point, like you don't really get to decide. You kind of have to just fit, like get in where you fit in type thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what they have to do.
out of that group of the four millennials, or I guess now it's just what, Jay and Taylor and Will.
What are they thinking?
I don't know.
But, they're three people.
Well, they're like the witches. They're the new witches.
Yeah. Right. They wish they were.
So who of that group do you see as being the person who's best able to come out of it?
Well, let's see. I mean, Taylor is living in like his own world, so I don't see him going off and like making some bond or getting in with some group. I think Jay is probably most fit, as long as he can come off of his high horse and like get leveled a little bit more. He was a little bit cocky, I think, going into the merge. Like,
but why? I don't get it. Why was Jay so overconfident? And, you know, Zeke talked about this in the episode where he is like, boy, you know, Jay, that he seems, he's like a very charismatic guy and he's got Taylor back. And it seems like he was making friends with the guys, but we never saw any sort of clue that he was working with anybody from Gen X. So I don't know why Jay was so cocky.
I don't know either. And I was having this conversation with someone earlier, like what numbers did he think he had? I mean, he thought he had Hannah. He thought he had Adam before they decided to go for Adam. I mean, unless there were conversations with Gen X that we were missing, but I'm trying to think, he never really wanted to work with Gen X. He was always about millennials stick together. So
this is a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what what he was thinking.
I asked Michelle this question. I said, why did you guys feel like you had the numbers? There was only four of you who were voting together. Did you feel like the other side was splitting the vote maybe? And she said, you know what? Honestly, that they told me not to worry about it. And I didn't know who was voting with us at this vote.
Okay, wait, who told her not to worry about it? Taylor? Because I'm pretty sure this is like the mason jar king. Like, why are we taking any advice from a dude who like cans applesauce and puts it in his like fridge for the winter? Like, what? It makes no sense. Yeah,
not to get too far off of this.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
But yeah, when he ate all the food, before he ate all the food, he told us, he's like, yeah, well, I'm pretty good with mason jars, so I ate all the food for the tribe. Like, wait, what does that have to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with anything. I don't know. I was having Drew Christie flashbacks. But anyway, back to the question.
We'll get back to the trailer.
Okay. Yeah. We have a lot to say about him, I'm sure. I mean, I think of those three, like Jay has the best chance just because he is charming. He kind of does have that bro thing. Like Will seems super sweet, but like he just kind of is that like puppy dog right now following. I mean, I don't know where he would start to make relationships. So of those three, I think that Jay probably has the best shot if he can just be a little more calm and get in with Gen X instead of just sticking himself over in the corner. Like he needs to branch out more. He can't be so stuck with these two people.
I don't know. I don't know if there is an in, because it would really require Gen X to turn on each other. And I think that some of the immature behavior that we're seeing from the millennials post-merge specifically, like what Taylor is doing, is really hurting the chances for those six Gen Xers to turn on each other when he's making it so easy for them to say, look at these guys over here. Look at this behavior.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Right? And
what would Farm Guy 69 do if somebody was eating all of the food at the camp?
He'd probably hit them with a stick. I don't know what he would do. He'd probably like, I don't know. I don't want to speak for him, but it would not be good. He would definitely be feeling like Brett a little bit, I think, but yeah, maybe a little crankier.
No, and Brett didn't even want to say something. He would have said something. He was getting mad when Missy was just cooking too much rice.
Yeah, that would not have been good. He probably would have gotten up in the middle of the night and like yanked it out of his hand and just caused a scene. I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. Maybe you can ask him online what he would have done. I'm sure he has a spicy response.
Yes. All right. We'll check with him. Yeah.
Okay. You were saying that, you know, that it would be hard for them to get back in. And I completely agree. I mean, I think overall the group that's voting together now is great. I really like the little nerd alliance that Zeke has going. I was super happy that Zeke kind of came alive a little bit in this episode. I liked him in episode one. And then now I feel like he was good. Like, he kind of just hung back. He was listening to what other people wanted to do. I mean, I think that's how you have to play sometimes. So I really liked what Zeke was doing, and that little nerd alliance is cool with me so far. And Hannah impressed me too. I was happy that she, you know, did what she did with Adam and has calmed down a little bit.
Well, I want to talk about both of them. And let me start with Hannah, because I feel like we didn't touch on her at all with the know-it-alls. But I felt like that this was far and away her best episode of the 8 episodes in this season, where we've seen her very much at times where it looks like the game is getting away from her. But we actually had her saying to Adam, like, dude, you have to calm down. You're too out of control right now.
Yes. And that's how you know there's a problem. Adam, wake up. Like, Hannah, the person who kind of like freaks out about every little thing, or, you know, is really nervous, like, she's the one telling you to calm down. You probably need to take it back like 50 levels. I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. It's interesting in terms of the way that people panic and scramble, because I'm sure that you've seen this in your time out on the island, in the person who is nervous about the vote, who is the over scrambler, and the person who's like, going to go talk to everybody over here. Okay. And then I'm going to go back over here and check in and see what's going on there. Is there one person that comes to mind from your games that was that person?
I mean, I don't want to say anything badly, but I think you could probably say like Steven Fishback was just, I mean, he wasn't in the same way that Adam was. He was smarter than some of the things that Adam did last night. But I think that Steven would say himself that he overanalyzed things and was, you know, always making sure that the numbers were here and all this stuff. And so I would say that probably Steven of all the people was that way. But everybody in their own way does that. And so, you know, it just happens. It's inevitable. But Adam made a lot of mistakes. I was so unhappy with a lot of the things he was doing in that episode last night. And I was just like scratching my head, like, what are you doing? It does not make sense, a lot of the decisions he was making.
Well, I think that there's something interesting there to the kind of panic that Adam had, and then the kind of panic that we've seen Hannah have. Cause I think that maybe there's something there in terms of like, do you have internal panic or external panic? And I wonder if the internal isn't as bad, where the external is sort of like, okay, now you're running around, you're trying to, you know, talk to as many different people as possible before the vote. And everybody is starting to get the vibe, boy, I can't trust this person, where the internal panic is just sort of like you're hyperventilating, but it's not the kind of thing that necessarily is going to turn off your allies as much.
Yeah, the external is, of course, worse. I mean, you're in a game with all these other people. And the thing that people forget is that you constantly have to make them feel comfortable. Like, the game is about you and you winning, but it's not about you. It's about all these other people and what are they feeling. And if you forget that, then you're in big trouble. And Adam completely forgot that. So, yeah, the internal, if you can keep it to yourself and just deal with your own issues, that's fine. But once you start to project that and people see that and you make them nervous, that's when we have problems.
Yeah. We've talked about that sort of idea a lot this season in particular. So then let's talk about Adam and the couple of mistakes that we felt like he made last night, because I definitely am 100% on the same page with you on this. I guess, why don't we start with Adam having that conversation with Taylor, because it definitely seemed like an interesting moment that could have played out. And I liked how he was ready to jump on this opportunity to go and talk to Taylor. But in your mind, what did you feel like was wrong with that?
Well, I agree with you. I think anytime you can take an opportunity to connect with someone and try and feel where they're at, especially at night without other people seeing you, I mean, maybe this is a chance for him to just feel out Taylor and see what he's thinking. But you don't give up all the goods. I mean, you don't go there and say, hey, I want to do this. Like, some of those things that you say when he's talking about getting out Will, that's a conversation you have with Zeke, okay? Someone that you're close to. You don't go have that conversation with someone who is close to that group. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. That would be like me going to Jeremy and saying, like, I don't know, let's get out Tasha or Savage or whoever. Like, I haven't been really working with this person. I've wronged them in the past, which is something that Taylor is still holding on to, clearly. You just have to know your audience. And I don't think that Adam did a good job of like really reading Taylor. Like, you just don't give that up. And then on top of that, he, you know, told him the thing that he was looking for an idol. And then now he's got this advantage. Like, why? What is the purpose in that? I mean, maybe you have a conversation with Taylor, an initial conversation, and say, hey, I saw you with the food. I'm not going to tell anybody, you know, just moving forward, I'd like us to work together. And then you feel him out the next few days. You don't just give it up right away. I just didn't, it made zero sense to me, and played out exactly how I thought it would.
I think on Adam's part, I think it speaks to a guilty conscience where he still feels bad that he voted out Figgy. He wants to make things right with Taylor. And I think he feels like if I give him all this information and we also come up with a way to work together, he's going to forgive me. But I think that he's not really understanding what motivates Taylor, where I'm not sure necessarily winning the $1 million is what motivates Taylor in this game.
Exactly. I think that's very low on his list of things that are important to him. So, I mean, he's literally stealing food from camp, like clearly not here
whatever.
To win $1 million.
I was hungry. Yeah. So sue me.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, you're not playing with somebody that, I mean, you just have to know who you're playing with. And Taylor is not like Adam, and Taylor's not playing like Adam. And so I don't know why Adam would think that his information would be safe with him. It just is kind of mind blowing to me. Again, I appreciate what he was trying to do. I think you do have to constantly maintain those relationships, build them up when they've been, you know, down. You have to just figure out what you need to do to get allies wherever they are. But you just, I don't know. I didn't like the giving up the info. It was just bad.
So what's the best way to mend fences with somebody that you wronged? That I know for me in the Amazon, that there certainly was the moment where I had voted out Alex and Jenna and Heidi were upset with me. And then when we were able to come to a plan to vote out Christy, that was the moment in which we were able to sort of move on past the bad thing when we both needed each other. I'm sure for Adam, it felt like the same sort of moment for him, but I just don't think that Taylor looked at things that way.
Well, I think what Adam needs to keep in mind, too, is that it's very obvious that Taylor is with Jay, and along with that comes Will. And I think that he failed to see that bond is going to be stronger than his bond with them. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if he says, oh, we're going to get out Will, of course he's going to go back. I mean, I know what you're saying, and like there are ways to rebuild it. And I just don't think there was any reason to tell Taylor all that info. I mean, that's it. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah, I think it's just is a lack of understanding how Taylor is seeing the world. We talk about all the time about how like you have to also like, you know, imagine what's best for you, but also be thinking about like what other people are thinking is best for them. And there's just no scenario where Taylor is going to think that weakening Jay and Will and the millennials is going to be something that's going to benefit him.
Well, exactly. I mean, it would have been different if Adam just said to him, hey, like, you know, let's put that in the past. I'm here for you moving forward. If you need a vote or let's just talk or whatever, you know, just offer him something of value to him. I don't think that trying to get out Will is any sort of value to Taylor. So what, you know, that's not giving him anything that is useful to him in the future.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like asking him like, okay, who don't you like on Gen X? Maybe we can come back together. Let's figure something out to, you know, bring our group back together. Something that's really not giving up anything. That's sort of a plan which he could use to use against him. It's tricky. I know it's a little bit, it's very nuanced.
I mean, and don't you think Taylor's the type of person that just, I mean, he doesn't think like everybody else, clearly. And I mean, you just want to scratch his back a little bit. Like, you just want him to feel good. Like, you know, like, what do you want to do, Taylor? Like, let's let him talk about himself or talk about what he wants. And don't try and push something on him. Don't, like, push your agenda, because that doesn't really work on anybody. And I definitely don't think that Taylor is going to take that and, you know, and put it in the back pocket. Like, he's just not that type of player.
Yeah. And as I was rewatching that scene over again this morning where Adam is talking about his plan, about how he's like, you know, so what do you think about the idea that we could go ahead? And what do you think about? And Taylor is like looking off into space. He's like not even like paying attention to what he's saying. He's like,
digging his little fingers in his mason jar. He's like, all he cares about are those dried mangoes. Like,
yeah, his pretzels.
Like, it's like, what? This is not going anywhere. And Rob, why would he tell him about the advantage?
Right.
Like, what was the point in that? I mean,
First, let's just get into, what do you think about this advantage? Is this worth anything in your mind?
Garbage. This is the best you can come up with, Survivor. I'm sorry. But like, of all the advantages you've done, I mean, it's just crap. I'd be so mad if that's the advantage I get. Like, give me something better than that. B, if Adam uses that advantage, he is an idiot. And C, it's just, no, I don't like it at all. I think it's worthless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough because, you know, we talk so much with Steven about just the idea of having an advantage is something that gets people so paranoid of, oh, he has all this power. Steven has said that he doesn't think it was a mistake to get the advantage in Cambodia, but he thinks he should have just gotten rid of it and just like flushed it as soon as possible. But here's Adam now, and now he has this secret advantage, and also people know about it. I just feel like it's going to be the kind of thing where in people's minds, it's going to become like this really powerful thing that he's going to be able to use at any time.
I mean, even though it's just for, let's say it's for food or something, I just think there is this whole idea, like you're saying, that having an advantage, it just puts a target on you. It's like having an idol. It's having something, any sort of power that someone else doesn't have, puts a target on you. That's just the fact of the matter. And something so silly. I don't know why he would admit that he has it. Honestly, I would take that paper and I would probably burn it. Like, I don't even want that advantage. Like, let's flush this advantage and get a new advantage in the game because this one is trash. Like, there's no need. You know what I mean?
I don't think it works that way, Kelly.
I know, but I hope. But can we also, why did Adam say that there was a merge idol? What's a merge idol?
I don't know. I guess that sometimes that there is a idol at the merge camp. Trying to think, you know, back in Survivor Cagayan, they had the Tyler Perry idol that was at the merge.
I guess. I just don't know. I mean, good for him for looking. The advantage overall, I don't like it.
He did kind of make something up. I do think maybe in San Juan del Sur, they did like, did they put an idol out there after the, like the idols were hidden at camp in the pre-merge and then they were at Exile Island after the merge?
Yes, because John Mish was like guided with a camera to like three of them.
Yeah, even though Natalie found one from the pre-merge a couple weeks later.
John Mish, why is there a helicopter up above this little mountain? Why would there be one here? I don't know. Yeah, but yes, it was on Exile Island, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that. Yeah, Adam did kind of make up a thing. It's not always the case. Let me ask you a question as, you know, we're going through this stuff so we don't come back to it later. So Matt Forsyth wanted to ask you, last night when Adam found the advantage, I was surprised by how terrible it seemed because you would never want to steal someone's reward. So I started thinking about what rewards would be worthy of stealing. Could you steal a clue to the hidden immunity idol that somebody gets at an auction? Could you steal the advantage at a Final Four challenge? Or maybe you could steal a car. Let's remember last time that we were in Fiji, we saw Dream steal a car from Yao Man. What about the idea of an advantage? Like, is there an expiration date on this? What if there was some sort of a reward, you know, like we ended up having? I think Keith won at the Final Five in San Juan del Sur, or like, did Aubrey win an advantage in the last season's finale is a little bit of a blur to me, but we've had an advantage in the finale a lot of times in terms of somebody who wins a reward challenge. Is that on the table that you could steal?
Like they win the advantage as a reward.
Right.
So not like at the auction.
Sometimes, like, yeah, at the final five, okay. They do like where you win a advantage in the upcoming challenge. That's like the reward.
Oh, right. Right. That kind of advantage. Okay. I mean, I would think so. I mean, yeah. So I guess if you look at it that way, it's not completely worthless, but
but does this expire like the immunity idol?
Well, I don't know. I don't feel like we got a lot of info on it. So maybe, I mean, if that is the case, then yeah, maybe it is a good thing to have. We've seen better. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. It's the same with the idols of season. Like, really? You're going to give me some dusty coconut and like super glue it together and all they have to do is rip it open? Like, come on, man. This is crazy, you know, like, it's like, come on, it's, whatever. We're going backwards here, but Kelly, you know what? We'll see how it plays out.
What about the loved ones visit? You know, that's always contentious every season about who gets to go on that one, that you won that reward back in Cambodia. And then you got to decide who was going on the loved ones visit with people, correct?
Yeah. So, well, I have a question about that, not to cut you off. But so let's say that, I don't know, let's just for fun say that Taylor was still there and he won the family visit.
Uh-oh. Where are you going with this, Kelly?
I don't know. Nowhere. Look, nowhere.
Val came out for Jeremy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I don't want to get too involved in that. It's really not my business. let them be how they will be. But let's say that Taylor wins it and Adam takes it from him. Does that still mean that all the people that Taylor had chosen to go on the family visit with him go? Like, you know, like, what are all the rules here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does Adam steal the whole challenge and he gets to pick people now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very confusing.
Can he pick the person that won the reward initially and say, right, like, okay, well, like, don't be too mad at me. You still get to come. I just now technically get to come also.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that it's already kind of dangerous to win rewards. I mean, people say this all the time, like you want to win it because you're hungry or whatever, and you want to work with your alliance or work with new people. I don't know what it may be, but it's just so dangerous sometimes to win one because then you isolate other people. So if you didn't get a challenge and then you stole it, and then it's like, doesn't that just seem like even more dangerous territory?
Well,
doesn't seem like the reward is worth it.
I agree. But what if you let everybody in the camp know you have this power? So now all of a sudden, all right, Kelly, you just won reward. Kelly, all right, pick two or three people. And then you're looking over at the crowd and Adam, like every single time now, is going to be like, and it's like, all right, I guess I'll take Adam so he doesn't steal the reward from me. I mean, isn't this an almost that he's going to get picked on every single reward if everybody knows he has this?
He'll get voted out before that. No, this is not how this works. This is not like he's not all of a sudden the president of the island when he gets to, like, you know what I mean? No,
you take him or he's going to steal your reward.
Let him steal it. And then we'll vote his ass out. Like, see you later. No way.
And then every time he doesn't do it, then he builds up goodwill. You know, I didn't steal it from you.
No. That's ridiculous. No, I think he just should have kept it to himself.
Yeah.
And just made that decision. I think that's just what it boils down to.
But I think that there are people that would use this. I don't want to pile on Survivor necessarily because, like, hypothetically, like, what if Abby got this? Okay. And, or, you know, somebody who maybe isn't going to be able to be a, you know, thinking about long-term gratification over short-term gratification in the game and is going to say, you know what? I want that reward. You have that. I want it. And wouldn't it be a great moment?
It would be great TV. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be good TV.
So you're right. I don't think that there's a lot of strategic ways to advance yourself with this. But I think that if this was out there enough times, there would be a person who's going to say, you know what? I've had enough. I want a reward today.
Well, we'll see how it plays out.
You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. But somebody out there would do it.
Yeah, his name's Taylor.
Taylor. I'm sure they were dying.
He's like, mason jars, I'm in. Like, it was like, you offer that for every award.
Well, I had said this on Twitter last night, but Taylor doesn't need an advantage to steal all of everybody's food. He's just going to take it.
That was so ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, who? What? He was making so much noise. If you are going to try and do that, at least try and be a little more ninja-like. I mean, you don't go there banging around and then expect, like, people not to hear you. That was so strange.
Yeah, it really was not a great idea. Let's talk a little bit about the Gen Xers. You know, we've been talking about so many of these millennials. Are there any Gen Xers that stand out to you? Do you have a favorite Gen Xer?
Gen Xer, let's see.
There's
I actually do
left.
Like Chris.
Chris.
I do like Chris. Yeah. David is growing on me. I wasn't a huge fan in the beginning. But I think I like Chris and David are probably my two favorites. I mean, granted, we haven't really heard from Sunday for like four episodes.
No, we have not.
Brett kind of was in this episode, which he hasn't really been. So, but yeah, I think I like Chris and I like David right now.
All right. Talk to me about David. Do you like where he's at in the game? Do you feel like that he's in a good spot to ending up getting to final five, final six?
I think David's in a great spot. I mean, he has that little kind of alliance with Zeke and Chris. He appears to be okay with the other Gen X. I mean, like, who's coming after David? You know, like, he has an idol. I mean, he's no threat in the challenges. He's got smart. I think he's in a great position. And I think he could win. I think David could win. He has a good case.
Yes, because that he was the person that seemed like he was really scared in the beginning and then has come into his own.
He's overcome a lot. Like, he's found two idols. I was a little bit like when he played the idol for Jessica, I kind of thought, I don't know about this guy, but I've come around on him. I've come around on David.
But Kelly, talk to me as a voter in the final tribal council, the idea of I've grown a lot now that you were out there in Cambodia and everybody loved what Jeremy had to say, but wasn't one of the things that Spencer was saying was that I've grown a lot as a person out here. And the jury, Stephen Fishback, also argued that. I feel like that's not typically a winning argument with the jury of look how much I've grown since I was out there. And going back to Token Sheens, JT shut that argument down with Steven. It's like, hey, if this is a football team and, you know, and on the first day, you know, and you're out at receiver and you never caught a football before, like, you don't get more. You shouldn't be rewarded more just because you didn't know how to play the, you know, catch the football on the first day.
Of course, that is not going to win you survivor.
I'm paraphrasing JT. I don't know. That was similar to what he said.
Okay. I won't hold
it
against
you. He's no Doug Baldwin, Stephen Fishback.
Okay. Oh, I love Doug Baldwin. Okay. No, of course, that's not an argument that necessarily will win you the game. I'm just saying that I think it's a good story for David, along with the other stuff that he's been doing. Like, I feel like his social game has come a long way already. I feel like he played the one idol. He has another idol. So I think he has things to add to that case. He may not even have to say at the end, like, oh, I grew. He could just say, like, this is my game and this is what I did. You know, like, I don't see it as like he's going to just sit back and use the I've grown speech to win the game, because it doesn't work.
Here's what I need to figure out with you, Kelly, because, all right, we have this big group of nine people and we have these three, the three warlocks of Taylor and Jay and Will. And presumably, let's just say that they're probably going to be the next three to go out, or two out of the next three to go out. But how does that group of nine split up, where you have six Gen Xers and then you have Adam and Zeke and Hannah? Do you think that the three, the quote unquote, the nerd alliance that Zeke was talking about, do you think that they hold together? And if so, which Gen Xers do they work with?
They definitely work with David.
David.
Yeah, definitely.
He's part of the nerd alliance.
I know. I think that, and I think Chris and Brett. I have that whole group. I kind of see Ken and Jessica, like, in the Gen Xers as the outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
you know, like Sunday and Brad are close, Chris and David are close, and they kind of just bring in Ken and Jessica. So I think that could be a group. I don't know if Adam, I mean, how much longer could Adam really be around? Everyone's kind of worried about him now, even his own geek squad.
Like at Best Buy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's interesting because you have a couple different, you know, pairs of the Gen Xers where, you know, you have Brett and Chris are a pair, but Zeke was kind of working with Chris. And does Zeke get, you know, annoyed that Chris has back to his old BFF? There's that thing.
I don't think so, because I think that I don't think Chris is blatantly like he's not like a Jay and Taylor or Jay and Will. Like, I feel like they're doing a better job of spreading the love, if you will. Like, I don't think he's completely attached to Brett. Like, he's not showing that, or at least we haven't seen that yet. You know, like they're doing. I don't know.
But then there's Ken and Jessica also. And where are they going?
They're just along for the ride.
Along for the ride. Why are you not as high on Ken as a lot of people?
I'm okay with Ken. I'm fine with Ken. I'm not as high as other people, I would say.
Okay. Why? What is the turn off about Ken?
I don't really know. I don't really know what he's doing. He's kind of just always like there.
Yeah.
You know, like he's, I don't know. What's he doing?
There was an interesting secret scene this week about how Hannah and Ken have formed a bond.
This is news.
Yeah, she didn't think that she was going to like him, but then she talked about him and said that Ken is a weirdo. Ken's weird, and she likes
he's
him.
He's weird?
Yeah.
Oh, well, weird how?
That he talks about weird stuff, she said.
Wait, what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know if Ken also talks about puppies and butts like Hannah likes to do.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I feel like I need more info. I kind of want to see this relationship grow now. Like, I want this to be on my television screen.
Everybody seems to have a good bond with Ken, except for Lucy.
Who?
Oh, come on. Come on, Kelly.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I actually did for a second wonder who you're talking about. So I do apologize.
This post-merge is just very complicated. There's like a lot of connective tissue between all these different people where it's like, okay, if you say, okay, oh, well, David will stick with Chris. It's like, well, David's going to turn his back on Ken and Jessica because that was kind of a thing. And it's like, okay, well, Zeke will go with, you know, with David and then with Ken and Jessica. Well, he'll turn his back on Chris. I mean, they sort of had a thing. So it's going to be very complicated once you get these couple of millennial stragglers out of there.
I do agree. I just hope that we don't have a, like, you know, Taylor's next, Jay, then Will. Like, I do want it to stay interesting. So I kind of wouldn't mind if there's a little mix up or maybe an idol in play or something. Like, I don't want it to just be like this big group sticks together for the next three episodes and we're stuck just like, oh, knew that was going to happen.
Well, you have this big group, and then similar to you, you have Jay, one of the warlocks, who has an idol to play. Now, I guess going into this, there are certainly enough numbers where they can split the vote. So how do you think that they should handle this idea of, you know, three guys, potentially one idol?
Three guys, one idol. Man, I mean, I think somebody needs to get in with the other side to know what's going on. I mean, that's the key, because you need somebody to know, like, if they're going to split the votes, are they not? Who are they looking at? Like, because if Jay has an idol and he somehow knows that they're going to go for Taylor, then he can use it on Taylor or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if they just stick in their own little bubble, they're totally screwed.
Yeah.
They need somebody to infiltrate to the other side. Get in there. I don't know. Maybe somebody goes and gets buddy buddy with Hannah. I don't know who the heck it is, but they need info. They need to know what's going on.
I mean, we could end up in some sort of like Three Amigos type situation also. I mean, I don't think we'd have a fourth immunity idol that's going to be in play right now, but at least, you know, there are three that are in the game. And also you figure that, you know, these three guys that are together are probably three of the biggest threats that are on the board to win immunity as well.
I would think so. I mean, I highly doubt that David's beating them.
What about in a puzzle?
Is David good at puzzles?
Supposedly.
Well, we all think we are in our own mind, but let's see when it comes down to crunch time, who really performs.
He prints out 3D puzzles, Kelly.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. It seems like a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would think that. But, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, we could have next episode where these three guys go to a Hannah or a Zeke and say, hey, if you let too many of these Gen Xers stick together, you know, they have a tight bond. Maybe if you guys are in the not in the numbers with them, then they're going to pick you off after we go. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. Like, that's a possibility. Who's going to do that? I don't know.
Sunday's sitting right there. I feel like nobody loves Sunday. I'm sure she's lovely. But I just feel like that, you know, Brett seems to like Sunday. That was fine when they were together back. But there doesn't seem like there's a ton of connection. Like, is Chris connected to Sunday in a big way? Is Jessica, David? Like, I feel like that she's the one Gen Xer that nobody is too connected to.
I thought that Brett was fairly close to Sunday.
Only because they went to the Swap Tribe together, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It seems like he's back with his real friends now.
He is, but I feel like you could say the same about, like, Jessica. I mean, she's with Ken, but it doesn't really seem like anybody. Well, I mean.
No, they are BFF, Kelly. She said she would give her legacy advantage to him.
Yeah, I'm talking about Ken and Jessica, but who else is Jessica close to?
David.
Well, she was close to him, but we haven't seen that relationship since they were separated.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, maybe David's closer now to Chris and Zeke.
Kelly, talk to me about that. How much of a thing is that where, okay, so you're on to KO with somebody and then they're swapped away from you. And then when you get back to the merge, are you immediately as close to them as you were before? Or do things really change a lot if you're not together for, you know, 9 or 10 days?
I think it changes a lot. I mean, I think that I really did feel like Spencer and I were close going into the swap. And then he was swapped on with Jeremy and the rest of that group. And he got really close to Jeremy. And then once we came back together, I tried to rekindle that relationship that we had. And it just wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's kind of like it's hard because it's you forget about that stuff. You're like, well, who's closest to me right now? And that just feels it just feels more right, I guess. It just feels more comfortable probably than like, well, I don't know what's happened with them over there. And, you know, what if they're closer to this person? It's hard to know.
To me, I feel like the person who's at the center of everything is Zeke. I think
yes.
that he's the person that knows the most millennials, that has an okay relationship at best with, just about everybody, and then better relationships with Hannah and Adam. And then he has really good relationships with the Gen Xers, and he's not, you know, scrambling all over the place like Adam, and is not, you know, really being too panicky like Hannah. And I feel like that for the Gen Xers, I think they look at him as like, okay, here's the normal millennial.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I think that Zeke is in a fantastic spot. And you even saw in the episode when all the Gen Xers were talking, he was just kind of laying back. But he was involved in those conversations. He was helping, you know, make the decision, but not coming across as the one who was trying to, dictate the vote. This is what we have to do. He has his little side geek group, but then he knows about David's idol. He gets along with the Gen Xers. I think he is definitely in the best position right now.
Yeah.
I think he's done a great job.
He's the person where it was like the Gen Xers were like scrambling about who do we put the votes on because, oh, we should vote for Taylor. We should vote for Jay. What do we do? And he seemed like he was maybe the most calm about this.
Yes, he was great. And then he was so smooth when he heard Jay and Taylor talking. And then he just, you know, reported back to Adam, but not in a freaky way where he like ran to him and was like, oh, God, this is what's happening. He was just like, hey, just so you know, this is what's going on. Don't freak out. We'll figure it out. I mean, that's kind of the attitude you need to have. I think he could go really far. I'm liking Zeke right now.
Yeah. And for Zeke, do you think that he needs to get rid of Adam sooner than later?
This is so tough because I wonder if this is a wake up call for Adam now of like, okay, I know that I was freaking out. I need to calm down. I feel like if Adam steps back a little bit, that he is a good ally for Zeke, and they kind of have that side little deal with Hannah. If he continues to freak out and be a liability, then yeah, he's got to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see any sort of similarities back to when we talked about Worlds Apart a couple of years ago, where Mike Holloway was like, just like he was like all over the board and just like, you know, talking to everybody, and to the point where the people in his alliance were just like, you know what, we got to just make this plan and we're going to get rid of Mike. And then ultimately he has to go on this like insane immunity run and then plays an idol also along the way. But the fact that he was just so involved in everything was what made people wary of him. Do you see any similarity there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think the thing that Adam's failing to do is that this is why you have allies, right? Like, you want people. Like, I think Hannah is a great example. Like, she, I mean, maybe not before, but now appears, or Zeke even too. They're with the Gen X now. They voted with them. They can get that additional information and they can then talk to Adam about it. Adam doesn't need to be the one on the front line, like going to everybody. That's why you have people you work with, right? Like, you don't want to be scrambling around and acting like a crazy man. You have to put some trust in people and say, hey, like, I'll, you know, if I hear anything, I'll let you know. If you hear anything, let me know. And I mean, that's, you don't want to be the person just freaking out. So I do see that he may have some trouble, Mike Holloway style. So hopefully that doesn't happen. He just needs to be grounded a little bit, like come back to earth, like stop doing this.
Let me ask you a question that Maggie emailed in, and she said, hi, I've been rooting for Adam from the start, but last episode was a bit of a train crash for him. Even his day one ally Zeke was getting very frustrated and talking about voting him off. Did Adam make the right decision by keeping his idol 100% a secret, since even members of his own alliance are thinking of voting him off? Or should he have shared the idol with Zeke to gain his trust and reinforce his alliance? P.S. Kelly, you are my favorite Survivor player ever.
Oh, that's so Maggie. Sweet. Thank you, Maggie.
Yes.
Thanks, Maggie. Yes, I think he should keep it secret. I mean, I think you know how I feel about telling people about idols. So I 90% of the time think that you should keep it to yourself, which is what blows my mind going back to the Taylor thing of why he would tell Taylor something but not tell Zeke, who is what we would, I think at this point, consider his closest ally. It just doesn't make sense. But yeah, I think that was a good decision to keep it to himself for sure.
Maybe just playing devil's advocate in terms of this reward stealing thing. Is it possible that Adam, of course, who is a super duper fan of this game,
for a Survivor super duper fan like me,
maybe, like just you said, hey, this reward, this advantage is garbage. Maybe he's like, you know what? This is not a powerful thing, but what if I use this as a way to sort of mend fences, and I'll tell him a secret that I'll act like is a really big deal, but is not really, like, we've talked about this in maybe the evolution strategy, but just even the idea of, like, if you're out there on Survivor and then just confiding something in someone, it doesn't even have to be a real thing. Like, going back to Russell Hantz, where Russell Hantz tells everybody, is like, my dog was in Katrina and I lost, you know, just like, oh wow, this person's really opening up to me and telling me something. Do you think that Adam maybe looked at it like, yeah, who cares if people know I have the I'm gonna steal your reward advantage, and it's okay, let me just tell him and maybe he'll feel close to me.
I see what you're saying, but does he really see Taylor as being this like emotional person who would take that and be like, oh my God, thank you so much? I mean, I just think he has the wrong read on Taylor, if that's what he thought, because mm-hmm. it's just not the type of person that he is. You know, I think if he had told someone like a Jessica, I don't know, that's super random, but I think even she would have taken it a little differently. I mean, Taylor is a bro. Like, he's gonna run back to his dudes and tell them. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I know that Adam had good intentions, and I do like the fact that he tried to talk to Taylor, but again, going back to having an advantage, it's just not people, any sort of advantage that people don't have, they're almost like jealous of, like, oh, I want that, or I don't want him to have that. So it's true.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah.
Just one more question on this. Nick Wilson says, settle the score between Rob and Steven. Who's using their idol the best? David and Jay by using the idol to forge relationships, or is Adam using it correctly by keeping it a secret like you did? And does a newbie versus returner season make a difference? This is something, you know, Steven and I talk a lot about. I'm much more in your camp in terms of, you know, keep it a secret because it loses its power once people know about it. But that, just take a look at what happened with Zeke and David. Does that change your mind at all?
No. And I think Steven needs to ask himself. So he had that advantage and he told Spencer what the advantage was. And that's what allowed Spencer, myself, and everyone else to vote out Steven on that vote. If he had not told Spencer what his advantage was, we may not have had the votes. So any sort of advantage or any sort of idol, I think it's just best to keep it to yourself and use it when you need to. I just think the more people know about it, the more chances there are of things going completely wrong. Like it kind of gets out of your control.
Right.
You know, like you want it to be completely in your control. Like you make the decision. You don't want someone else coming in and potentially blowing it up. It just doesn't make sense. Like, why do that?
And what about the part about it being a first time player season versus a season of returnees?
I think there's probably a huge difference. I mean, you know, like the first time you go play, you think you know these things and you just don't. So the second time you just learn, like, you know a lot more than you did. So I think, yeah, there's a huge difference.
Okay. Edmo has a question. Edward Morris. He wants to know from you, Adam knew he was on the chopping block, but he didn't play his idol. How do you know whether to play your idol or not? So I really thought that the way the editing was going in this episode, I felt like, okay, the votes are all coming for Adam. He's going to play his idol, and then Taylor is going to get idled out of the game. Ultimately, it was Michelle who got voted out, which was a blindside for me. But how do you know when you're sitting there that, okay, this is the night I play the idol?
Oh, that's a good question. You don't ever really know. I think the only thing you can do is just go into tribal with the knowledge that you have. You have to listen really carefully to what people are saying, because some people will give cues or will give little bits of information that make you think it's going this way or that way. Obviously, the fact that Adam didn't play his idol, there's some stuff that we missed. Like, they must have had a bigger conversation about that group voting for Michelle. Otherwise, I don't see why he wouldn't have played it. I just have to pay attention. That's all. I don't know. I don't know what else he can do. And sometimes people play it the wrong way. You play it when you don't need to. And some people think they have the votes and they don't. And then sometimes it does work out. So it's kind of a crapshoot.
All right. KX has a question for you, Kelly. This merge parallels the Cambodia merge. 13-person merge. 9-person majority versus 4-person minority, and a member of the minority alliance voted out, the comparing cast to Michelle. Do you think that Jay could pull off a Wentworth next week? And who would be the savage in this scenario? And for that, I will give you your...
Hi, I'm Kelly Wentworth, and I just idled Andrew Savage out of Survivor Second Chance.
Yes.
Whoops. Yeah, that was so fun. That's like my favorite moment of the whole thing.
Wimpy little non-leader.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That was so great for so many reasons.
Yes. Yes.
You can't get too comfortable. You can't get too cocky. Come on. You never know. You can never underestimate anyone. Let's see. Who could it be? Because I wonder who they would go after. I feel like they would go after... If it were a Gen Xer, man.
It just seems like that they're blinded by that they have to go after Adam.
I know, right?
There's no Gen Xer, it seems like, that they're mad at.
I know. But I wonder, maybe Adam does go home. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not Ken, because they're bro-ing down with Ken.
Maybe Adam plays his idol and then cancels out all those votes.
Wow, that would be fun. Not a Survivor First, though.
Not a hashtag Survivor First. No, it would not be.
Speaking of Survivor First, when I heard Zeke say voting block, I thought that Stephen Fishback must be somewhere like jumping up and down, throwing confetti in the air.
Yes, yes, yeah.
That was great.
He always likes a voting block.
It's really caught on.
A game changer.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He invented that too.
I love Steven.
This is a question from a different Steven. Steven Callahan says, hi, Rob. I've almost lost all hope for this season. Where have the women gone? I'm always a huge advocate for female players, and more often than not, will root for them over the male players, sometimes against my better judgment. My question for Kelly is, as a woman who had to fight for your spot all through Second Chance, please tell me, what do the women that are remaining have to do in order to protect their spot in the game? Because it appears, certainly on this season at least, that they appear to be no more than removable pawns at the men's disposal.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy that almost all the women are gone. What, do we have three left now?
There's only three left. And
oh,
I mean,
my God, I mean,
it's pretty unprecedented, where I think that we were citing San Juan del Sur at the point where it's like, okay, well, there were only, you know, four women left after Julie went home, and then get to the final five, and four of the five people in the final five are all women. And I've been saying it's going to even out, but I don't know. I think I'm starting to sound sort of like a pollster about a week ago. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because who is Natalie Anderson in this situation? What, Sunday all of a sudden going to rise up and like take a stand? I mean, I just don't see it happening.
Come on, you fool. Let's go.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't see Hannah just leading the charge to a final three all women. I mean, it is a bummer. Like, he brings up a good point. It's really, I mean, that sucks. Is Jeff Probst like this season? Because it was seems like there'd be a good reason why. I think they just need to lay low. I think the guys will start going after each other. I mean, mm-hmm. We already saw it. People were wanting to get out that like Jay Taylor will. So I think it will happen. And who knows? I mean, maybe we do get all three of the ladies in like the final four or final five. But I don't think it will be a Natalie Anderson style.
No, I don't think so. It does not seem like, doesn't feel like that. That's the way it's going to be going.
I don't think so.
Ori Kohav wants to know, how would you compare Taylor to Drew Christie?
Oh, no.
So basically, I'm a badass.
Oh, my God. It's so incredible. Every time I hear it, I still laugh. It's amazing.
Still good. Still good.
I mean, how are you guys made this?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Have you guys made this comparison already? I mean, they're basically,
you know what? I made it pre-merge, but then I don't think we really talked about him too much in this way as the season has gone on. And then now that you're here, it makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah. I mean, don't you remember the time that Drew Christie wanted to trade Flint for like another Flint or Rice or something? I didn't even remember.
Right.
It seems like such
they
a
lost
Taylor
the Flint, right? And that they needed to trade, what, the reward? Was it the fishing gear?
I don't know, Rob. I was on that trade.
No, I think that was the second trade. Then I think he wanted fishing gear and then wanted to trade something else back.
Oh, you know what happened? It's because we lost the Flint. And then so we had traded fishing gear or something for the Flint. So we got another Flint. And then we found the Flint in the fire. I think that was a John Mish mistake.
Yes.
And then we took the old burnt Flint to the reward and asked for the fishing gear back. And I'm like, you really think Jeff Probst is going to trade your old burnt up Flint for like a new prize?
Unlikely.
Oh, my God. But OK, so the similarities between Taylor and Drew. I mean, I feel like they were brothers somewhere down the line, like in another life or something. I mean, they're just that like kind of like dopey surfer guy. I mean, it like you can see it for yourself.
Does Drew actually surf?
He fishes a lot.
Yeah.
And smokes a lot of it's legal here, you know, the green stuff. Yeah. And does a lot of
menthol cigarettes. Is that what you're talking about?
It's totally what I'm talking
about. Yeah. So yeah. How old is Drew Christie? What is he? Is he, so he's a millennial, right? He's 28.
Are you asking me if I keep tabs on Drew Christie?
Well, just saying, like, if you knew from when you were playing with him. So, yeah. So born in what, 1988. So I guess 28 probably years old for millennial Drew Christie. So, yeah. So he's sort of like the coastal Taylor, and Taylor is like the Colorado snowboard Drew Christie.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that Taylor lives in Washington now.
Whoa.
So we're basically neighbors.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. Yeah. So Drew's like the Florida surfer guy, and Taylor's like the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
guy, I guess.
In fairness, I believe Josh Wiggler said on the Know It All, this is like what we would have seen if Drew Christie made the merge.
Probably, you know, if nothing else, I mean, I obviously didn't like Drew, but God, it would have actually been really funny had he just lasted the whole time, because it is incredible entertainment, only because you can't believe people would actually do what they're doing. It's like the common sense has just left.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
But in a way, I think that there's a big difference between Drew Christie and Taylor in that, you know, Drew Christie fancied himself not only as a badass, but a manipulator of this game and somebody who was like sort of like pounding the table about, hey, we have to vote out Kelly. We have to go, you know, get rid of her. She's running this thing. Where Taylor really seems to have no ambitions in terms of the game other than until Adam voted out Figgy. And now his only concern is we have to get revenge on Adam. He doesn't seem to have any other plans besides that or any other targets that he wants to go after.
I think you're giving Drew way too much credit, honestly. I don't know. I see what you're saying, but I think we're being a little a little nice here.
Because I feel like that Drew like fancied himself like Brian Heidick, where that Taylor is just like, whatever, like, I'm, you know, and other than Adam got rid of my girlfriend, I have to get rid of him.
Do you feel like Taylor is a little bit like Fabio? That season was so long ago, I can't even remember how he acted, but it's just like the goofy guy.
Yeah, I think probably more so. Like, and again, Fabio probably had more of the, you know, I'm at least thinking about how am I going to get to the end, where Taylor is just like, whatever, I'm here to have a good time.
Yeah, he just wants to eat dried fruit in the middle of the night and get revenge for Figgy.
Because his stomach is hurting him. It's a medical emergency, Kelly.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. You know what? One line that I really enjoyed in the episode is when Adam went to talk to Taylor the second time, and Taylor said something along the lines of, like, information leaks. It's like, well, you leak. Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You're the only person I told. Like, what are you talking about? I just thought it was really kind of funny and just very, very Taylor. Very Taylor.
Good question. Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. wanted to know, is a 13-person merge too cluttered? Is there too many people on the same beach right now in your mind?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's too much. It's too much to keep track of. There are too many different ways a vote could go. As a player, horrible. Hate it.
What about as a viewer?
I think even as a viewer, it's confusing. It's just like you're trying to keep track of who's with who and what's going on here. And I was blindsided that Michelle went home, but I kind of felt like they were making it too obvious that it would be Adam or Taylor. So when they kind of mentioned Michelle's name, I was like, why are they mentioning Michelle's name?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just think it is too much clutter. There's too much going on. I think I don't love it. I think I like 11 or 12 people. 13 is a lot, and a big jury.
It's a big jury. All right. So this is a very interesting question from Matthew Wojcis, who wants to ask you, when Julie McGee stole the trail mix, there was a major scandal around that, forcing her to quit the game. Since Beef Jerky Gate, Granola Gate, and Trail Mix Gate all got those contestants in hot water, is Taylor just so charismatic that he's able to get away with it? Yeah, why did Julie McGee have to quit after people got mad at her about the Trail Mix scandal?
Well, that's not why Julie McGee quit. I thought we had already established that. But anyway, that's another story
so
for
you're
another
saying maybe
day.
Maybe that if Figgy had not left yet, there maybe there was a spot for Taylor, is what you're saying.
I think so.
Perhaps. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but how was he able to get away with it? Everybody was really getting on Julie McGee's case about her dirty underwear nuts.
Wow. Sorry. I heard that and I was okay.
That's what she had said famously about the trail mix scandal to me.
Oh, interesting. I just forget what she said. But I think it depends who you're playing with. I mean, maybe these people didn't want to stir the pot. Maybe you know, they know in their minds, like, well, it's fine. We're going to vote him out anyway when we get the chance. Maybe the people in San Juan del Sur were just more bothered by it. I mean, who knows? It really just comes down to what the other people were thinking. And maybe they just thought, like, oh, well, it's Taylor. Like, we really don't expect anything more out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know? Like, it's, who knows?
Yeah. Just sort of like the whatever.
It's rock like, on. Did we really? Oh, my God. He does make for great sound bites.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's so disturbing.
Yeah. He's tough, probably tough to play with. Probably tough to play with for Taylor. Okay. Alex Kidwell wants to know, they merged with 7 millennials to 6 Gen Xers by default. Isn't it in all of the millennials' best interest, regardless of loyalty, to target 1 Gen Xer first so down the road they could always maintain a tribal majority? Are Zeke and Hannah handing over control by siding with the Gen Xers now as opposed to getting rid of 1 or 2 before flipping over?
Oh, what, but we talk about these tribal majorities like that's all that matters now. And we've already talked about how confusing it is. Like, it's not like that anymore. It's not just the Gen X and the millennials together. So no, I don't think so. I mean, it is something that they need to be aware of. But at the same time, why would Zeke, Hannah, and Adam go with 4 people who are clearly tighter? Like, they would be at the bottom of the millennials if they stuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if they stick with the Jay, Taylor, Michelle, Will, they're not like infiltrating that group.
Right.
So I don't think it's a bad decision. I mean, they know their relationships better than we do. And so I think it was a good
you
choice.
Trust them.
I liked it. Yeah, I trust them. I like it.
You trust them more than Alex does.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Alex. And I think, like you said, some of the Gen Xers maybe aren't as close. Like, we don't know where Sunday stands. We don't know. Brett and Chris seem close. So we just don't know.
Okay. Eddie J has a question. Would Michelle have ultimately fared better in this season if she had let her ally Figgy go during the first millennial tribal instead of co-heading a revolt against it? Is a position near the bottom of your original tribe actually advantageous when going into a swap tribe? I mean, we've seen people who were sort of on the bottom in Adam and Zeke really benefit post-swap. You were somebody who was in a pretty good position in Hunapu pre-swap. Is it better for Michelle to have just let Figgy go out the door?
I don't think so. You can only take one day at a time. So you don't know what's coming. Every, you know, tomorrow's a new day. That was always my motto. So you can only make your best decision in that moment. And she thought that keeping Figgy was her best decision. Also, when it comes to a swap, it's so random. You have no idea. I mean, she could have ended up in a different tribe. Like, we just don't know. So I think you can only make the best decision on that certain day. And on that day, she wanted to keep Figgy. She seemed to be in a great spot at that time. But this is just how it shakes out sometimes.
Yeah, I think that she probably did do the right thing to try and save Figgy in that spot. But the thing I just keep going back to with Michelle is that, did she really overplay her hand that night, especially like at tribal council, where she was able to really just, like, you know, turn the screws on Hannah and get her to flip her vote, which turned out to just be an extra vote in that spot? Did she just play that vote too hard? Of course, you try to save Figgy, but did she sort of, like, you know, go too far out to save Figgy? At all costs.
I do think that, yeah, I mean, I do think you could say that for sure. I mean, they didn't need Hannah on that vote, correct?
They did not.
They
I think that was the 7th vote.
Exactly. And so why do that? You can always go back to Hannah and say, hey, here's what happened. Here, you know, make something up. I don't care what the hell you do. You can repair the relationship. Well, unless you wrong Taylor. But with any normal person, you can usually repair that. So, yeah, I think I liked that. I like seeing that as a viewer from Michelle, but maybe it was a little too aggressive at that time in the beginning of the game, for sure.
Sticking with that vote, Stefan Van Sant wants to ask you, do you think that Mari has Wentworth upside? Huge fan of you and absolutely loved your second chance. Do you think that Mari is somebody who could come back from a pre-merge boot in her first season and put together a deep run in a second season?
Interesting question.
I know you don't want to just hand out Wentworth Upside to people.
I'm very selective.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. let's see. Yeah, possibly. But I feel like people say that about a lot of people. Like, people were comparing Figgy to me, and people were comparing... I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
so
I know
anybody who gets voted out pre-merge is now automatically Wentworth.
I mean, I guess. I mean, yeah, I know I sucked in San Juan del Sur. That was horrible. Those are the dark days. We don't talk about that. But I think that they're definitely... I mean, some people come back and don't do that well. So I don't know. I did like Mari. I would like to see her back. I think that some of the mistakes she said she made, she could correct. And that's the biggest thing you need to see in somebody, is that they know what mistakes they made and that they would correct them. So She said she was too much, you know, that she kind of went back to that middle school aged shy kid or whatever it was. And so I think she would be able to fix that moving forward. Like, she would just know what to expect. So sure. Yeah. I could see that. I like Mari. Well, I'd be into it.
What I'd like to know from you, though, do you feel like that was San Juan del Sur Kelly and Cambodia Kelly? How much was Cambodia Kelly shaped by the experience in San Juan del Sur? So when we look at people, like, how much do we have to look at ultimately what happened to them in their first game, and how did that change them as a player? Because you probably were a different person by the time you got to the second chance.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you have to, like, once you played one time, you know a lot about the game and you know what to do and what not to do. So of course it shapes you. It changes you. It has a big impact. And anyone that goes in to play again and does the same mistakes, well, you're just an idiot. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
How much of a difference is it to play, 15 days the first time? Is that right?
I think it was like 13, but I'll take the extra 2 days.
Right, sure. Yeah. So, that's fine. Believe me. Like, after Survivor All-Stars, I know what you mean. And Mari, who's somebody who went out, day five, day six. How big is that, do you think, the extra 6 or 7 days in the game?
Well, listen, we had Francesqua, that's what I like to say.
Yes.
Come back. And clearly that didn't go so well the second time, not having any experience. Mm-hmm. So maybe you do need a certain number of days. Maybe, I mean, there is something to be said about going through a swap. There's something to be said about having to deal with different situations and knowing what to do. You know what I mean? Like I only say the swap because that was kind of difficult. I felt in both my seasons, and the second time I just knew what to do a little bit better than the first time.
Because I do think that when you first get there, that there are some nerves that you have for days on end. And then you sort of like get accustomed to what life is like on Survivor. And I wonder if you don't get to the point where that goes away the first time, then when you play the second time, is it like a whole, like, that you have to like re-entry to go into it? Whereas it's sort of a familiar feeling the second time.
Sure. I think it's also about how quickly you play again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, like, I was lucky enough, I went back fairly quickly. And so all that stuff was still fresh and I felt like I was ready. And if you have to wait a long time, I mean, I'll say someone like Jeff Varner, he had to wait a really long time and he overplayed the second time around. So, yeah, maybe I still would like to see Mari. I know what you're saying, but I would be interested. And if she were to, you know, go down in flames again by day five or six, well, then we have our answer.
Okay. Maureen Sanders wants to know, what does Kelly think about the ease of these idol locations in relationship to second chances? Do they make it too easy to find the idols now, Kelly?
Didn't I already express that earlier when I talked about some dusty coconut?
I sense that the listeners like to hear you go on about this.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Not just from this coming from me, because I'm the one who was one of the people who had to find it in a challenge. But don't you think it has kind of gone backwards a bit? Like, I remember when I initially saw some of the press and Jeff Probst was saying, like, oh, the aisles are going to be great. Like, it's going to be like, let's imagine there's 1,000 seashells on the beach and you're going to have to find one. I was like, ooh, this is going to be great. Like, someone's going to catch someone like digging up shells for 3 hours. And then all of a sudden it's literally like this bright green logo on a piece of bamboo that all you have to do is hit against a tree. I'm like, this is not even fun to watch. This is ridiculous. Like, how do we go backwards? Even last season, they had to freaking poke it out of a damn tree. Like, That was better. You know?
You know what? For me, though, I mean, what you guys did in Cambodia was great. I mean, that was a super exciting moment when you're trying to get the idol in that challenge and when Jeremy goes through it also. So that's really exciting. But for the most part, when you talked about like, oh, John Mish climbing around a rock, it's like, you know, okay, all right, why don't you just tell me you got the idol and let's just move on from there. So if we can sort of cut out, you know, people like turning leaves over for a little bit, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with that too. I just feel like they kind of went backwards. That's all. Like, how do you create something that's really fun and exciting for players and viewers? And then now, I mean, I just would prefer they just hide an idol like normal instead of trying to like wrap it up like a present, like, ooh, we got this cool thing. It's like, no.
Recreate the wheel, right.
It's like, I'd rather see them literally getting muddy and digging under a tree than just finding something with the logo on it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. Brian Altschul on this same topic says that it seemed like they went away from hiding the idols in really sneaky, sneaky places.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Like at the challenges and back to hiding them practically in plain sight. What do you think of this practice? Is it too easy? But why do you think that they are doing this? Is hiding them at the challenges too hard? I mean, I feel like that everybody loved it when they put them at the challenge. Why did they stop doing that after Cambodia?
Because production loves idols. They just want, like, I think they want more idols.
But they
want more, like,
four idols found in Cambodia. I mean, that's not enough idols.
I mean, it's enough for me.
For you. Yeah, well, two people were hogging all of them.
Oh, well. I mean, David has two, but here's the thing with this season that I don't like.
Found two.
Well, okay, right. But the thing I didn't like is that because of how it was set up, of course David was going to find the second idol. He knows what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed unfair.
Yeah. Do you think that
production
likes the idea of people having multiple idols where that you have a twist last season where there was like this great benefit for one person to have two idols coming off of a season where you and Jeremy both had two idols? Is it just like the people that find one are more likely to find a second one? Or do you feel like that the game is set up where they like people to have two idols?
I think they just like idols in general.
Okay.
I think they like the suspense and excitement it brings, and it just makes a little more drama, makes better TV.
Yes. Do you have any sort of sense that why didn't they do more finding the idols at the challenges?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can think is that they didn't want it to be predictable. Maybe they didn't.
But wouldn't that be exciting if the team was doing a challenge and then it's like, hey, what are you doing over there? Are you looking for an idol? Are you looking for an idol? Get the hell over here. Stop that. Like, I think it would make it very paranoid.
Rob, there's nothing I'd love to see more than everyone scurrying around like rats, like forgetting about the challenge. And Jeff Probst is just like, what are you doing? And everyone's just like looking at every single piece of the challenge, wondering where the idol is.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be great. Or if you like catch somebody and they call it out in the challenge, I would love to see that. But I'm just wondering if production just, I mean, certainly they liked it, right? Like, I felt like
everyone liked it. I wonder they feel like maybe they're waiting for the right time to bring it. Maybe it's not like an every season thing. They'll do it every couple seasons. All right. This is a question from Megan Z. And this is a very interesting question for you that Megan says, Kelly said, if we vote her into Second Chance, she would find Colleen Haskell. How is that going? Did you say that?
Well, I think we need to go back and review the tapes because I said if I'm voted in and I win, I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
All right, check the tape. Check the.
You better go delete that YouTube video.
Yes. You said it on YouTube.
I'm pretty sure I said if I was voted on and if I bring home the title Sole Survivor.
So that was on YouTube.
Sure.
You didn't say it with me. You said it in a YouTube video.
Yeah, it was my campaign video.
Okay, and you will find Colleen Haskell. Why? Were people looking for you to find Colleen Haskell? I mean, wouldn't Kelly Wigglesworth have a better chance to find Colleen Haskell?
No, I felt like it was just one of my duties.
Okay.
It felt right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So do you have any sort of contact with her or you were just going to like reopen this cold case?
Listen, I'm basically a detective. I was going to start my own podcast. Let's find Colleen Haskell.
It's like Serial?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was going to attempt to find her. But I'll have to review the tape now too, because now I'm worried. Maybe I said that I would find Colleen if I was voted in, but I would only give trail mix if I won.
Okay. Wow.
That's what it was.
Going back to the trail mix scandal.
Right.
So what was this video called? Maybe I could just play it.
Let's see.
Kelly Wentworth campaign.
It would just like be like Kelly Wentworth second chance or something.
Was it this one?
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Kelly Wentworth, and I'm just like...
But for the record, I don't know if we can do this the campaign video right now, Kelly. Instead, we're going to no politics talk.
Well, this is hardly political, okay, besides the American flag in the background.
All right, fair enough.
When I'm not talking on my AT&T cellular phone, eating Snickers bars, I'm watching Survivor. And I'm going to tell you, America, why I deserve your vote. Firstly, I respect my forefathers, the brave men and women who helped build this beautiful show we love with their lies, deception, and greed. This is for them. Secondly, I'm willing to learn from past mistakes.
Okay, Dale is not invited.
Dale's not invited.
I promise to play with intelligence, intensity, and in a bikini. But perhaps most importantly, if I win the $1 million, I pledge to buy every voter a bag of trail mix. Hell, I even promise to locate the whereabouts of Colleen Haskell.
That's if I won. See, I said if I win the $1 million.
I don't know. Campaign promises already out the window.
Oh my gosh. I said if I win, you know, come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that one.
We've set the record straight here. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Then Ron Chan wants to know, Kelly, what's more likely to happen? A millennial getting voted out next week or the Seahawks beating the Pats this Sunday?
We could barely beat the Saints. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Tom Brady is probably going to tear us up. Let's see. Yeah, sorry. Seahawks are probably going down in flames.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not just trying to lull us into a false sense of security?
Sneaky, sneaky. I would never do that, Rob.
Yeah. Wow. All right. You know, you've been tweeting a lot, not so much about Survivor, a lot of NFL football talk coming from you.
I have. Yeah. I get really worked up during the games. I know you're a Jets fan, and I don't know, I don't follow the Jets, but as a Seahawks fan, and everyone who's a Seahawks fan understands this, it is literally won or lost in the last 2 minutes of every game. We could be up 50 points.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we're coming down to the last play with 2 seconds on the clock, throwing it to Curse in the end zone with one toe. Like, it's really very stressful.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to, instead of yelling at the television, I just yell on Twitter so that the fellow Seahawks fans can also, you know, be with me as we go through this horrible time.
You take to Twitter. And
for the record,
so many NFL fans are screaming at you right now and your Seahawk privilege that you need to check right now. There's so many terrible teams like the Jets and many others that have no sympathy for you.
Well, I know the Browns. What are they, like 0-9? But they did just win. No, they didn't. They didn't. Just kidding. Sorry. That was going in a bad direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're doing fine, but we're barely squeaking by, Rob. So there's still a lot of season left to go.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
I always like to take a look at the Twitter pages of the people that I'm going to talk to on the podcast before they come on. Can you talk about what recently happened with your debit card? Because that sounds like that's probably a good story.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, it's one of those where it's almost like you can't believe that it happened. I'm not sure even really where to start. Basically, so sometimes when I'm using the restroom, you know, you can't just sit in there and stare at my shower curtain. So a lot of times I like to bring in, you know, some sort of tablet or something.
Okay.
And this particular time I had my phone. And I have one of those phones where it has the case that has the, you know, you can put your cards on the one side. So I have all my cards on one side, my phone on the other. And well, so what happened is that I, you know, stood up and I went to flush the toilet and I grabbed my phone and the cards were loose and a card fell down the toilet and flushed down the toilet. And so it obviously clogged.
So not just in the toilet, it flushed down.
It was gone. I was like waving to it as it swirled. It was like, see you later. Yeah. So so what happened is that I thought, well, you know, I can fix this myself, but I have no expertise in the toilet field. I thought I'm going to call somebody and have them fix it, because you can imagine Arlen was very upset with me.
Right.
It's like, how did this even happen? Like, what? And I'm like, well, just don't worry about it. I'll fix it. So we called a plumber. He came out. He thought he had fixed it. I didn't think he did. He said he did. Charged me $300. What do you know? The next day wasn't working again. So we had to get our hands a little dirty. I went to Home Depot. I bought all the stuff. I took the toilet off. You got to put the wax ring on.
Yep.
And like, you know, we broke a hose. It was a whole production. And what do you know? The debit card was at the bottom of the toilet. There it was. And I got it out. And now toilet's great.
Okay.
So word to the wise, people. A, don't bring your phone with your credit cards near the toilet, because it could happen to you. And B, just fix it yourself. Don't call a plumber. They'll just charge you for shit you can do on your own.
Wow. Kelly, yeah. I have a very complicated system of magnets in my bathroom. I have magnets on the wall. Yes.
I need a little more explanation here, Rob.
Yes, I have glued magnets to the wall in my bathroom. And then my phone has like metal on the back. Far away.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, what do you do while you're on the toilet then? Like, don't you need some entertainment?
You'd be watching a video.
Oh, so your toilet must be positioned in a way that the way you could watch your phone on the wall or something.
Yes. Yes. The door is very close.
Oh my gosh. You know what they need to make?
What's that?
You know how televisions on the stand, sometimes it has the swivel stand.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make that for phones, so that, because my toilet is right next to the wall. So if I did the magnet thing, I'd really have to turn, and that'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it'd be an angle.
It'd be a bad bathroom experience. And I really like to enjoy my time in the restroom, especially after Survivor. It's like a very nice, quiet time. Sure.
How most people watch Survivor Know-It-Alls, I've heard.
Oh, okay, good. Great. Yeah.
Now, Ponderosa video is probably the right time.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's that. So we both have a bathroom. Okay. Have you ever flushed anything down the toilet? Or your kids?
No, that's a good question. No, yeah. The boys haven't thrown anything in the toilet yet. We have some, let's not even go there, but
well, listen, I know how to fix the toilet now, so if there's
I'll
ever
call any, you next time
do it please, because I'll walk you through it. It's pretty easy. Okay. I think I could start my own toilet business at this point.
Okay. So this is something else that I noticed on your Twitter, but we also have a question on it. David Baltazar wants to know, what are your thoughts on the San Juan del Sur DVD cover? Did they get it right?
You didn't do this right, Jeff.
No. Did they do this right?
Do they ever? I mean, I didn't even know people still ordered DVDs.
Yeah, so I looked this up. I looked this up after we got this question. And so the San Juan del Sur DVD cover from going clockwise from the top left is Keith, Natalie Anderson, Jeremy, and then Josh, John Mish, and Kelly Wentworth.
Wow. Look at that, coming up in the world.
Yes. Look at you. Look at you. Now, you had tweeted about how, boy, I can't believe people are mad about a DVD cover. I'm paraphrasing, but people were going on Twitter and telling you that you did not belong on the DVD cover.
Yeah, they're very angry. Apparently,
who did they want?
Jacqueline.
The wrong
one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Apparently that was the case. Yeah. You know, it's fine. I mean, there are bigger fish to fry out there. I don't know. So if people want to be mad, that's okay.
There's big Jacqueline fans out there?
Few and far between.
I guess so.
They're out there. Yeah.
If you were going to be mad about anything, I feel like, wouldn't people be mad that, don't you need Missy?
Love you, bae.
Well, I think it was a combination of like, I think it was pretty much the people that were mad were saying anyone but Kelly. Was kind of, yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's okay.
It wasn't Tasha, right?
Wasn't Tasha.
Okay, just checking. All right. And yeah, that DVD, how about this? Available on Amazon for pre-order, $34.95 for the San Juan. I mean, it's a good season. Is it that good?
Wow, they're really gouging on these days, aren't they?
$34.95.
I would give it a good solid $19.99, I think would be a good price.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Also,
go ahead.
I didn't know they had this, that you can get it on Blu-ray.
Wow.
And Blu-ray is only $39.95.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Available for pre-order on Amazon.com, the Survivor San Juan del Sur DVD box set.
Yeah, I hope that's in my Christmas stocking one day. That'd be great, because I'm not going to buy it myself.
Would you get that for your dad as a gift?
No, I think we've kind of chosen to forget those days.
Yeah, even Farm Guy 69, he's chosen to forget it too?
I think so, mm-hmm. Yeah. Ricegate took a lot out of him.
Yes. Did he argue that he should have been on the cover because he made it further?
No, he didn't. But still to this day, he reminds me that he did go further than I did. He does.
Okay. And David also asked if Nick Vial is getting four chances on The Bachelor, should you be getting four chances on Survivor?
Wow. I don't know if I have it in me.
There's a guy on The Bachelor that's been on four times.
Oh my gosh, Rob, you need to get with the program here.
Yes.
Well, so he's been, okay, so this is actually a great story. So he was on The Bachelor the first time. He was the runner up and he was famously known for saying, "Why would you make love to me if you're not in love with me? Wow, what a baby." And then, like, just be thankful you got some, bro.
Yes.
And then the second time around, he was also the runner up, totally dumped. Then, so two times runner up, like, what does that say about you? Mm-hmm. And then the next time he was on Bachelor in Paradise and dumped a girl for, I believe, this opportunity as Bachelor.
Yeah. Okay. So he knew he was going to be the Bachelor, so he broke up with the girl he was seeing.
I think that's the word on the street, but, you know, what do I know?
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
All right. So back to you, Kelly.
Back to me. Sorry. So, okay.
But I really felt like going back to where I feel like I had you all wrong. I thought that coming out of Cambodia, I thought you were dying to go back. I thought you were so thirsty to go back to the show. But I get the sense that maybe you're not against it, but you're not dying to go back.
What would give you that idea?
I'm reading between the lines, Kelly.
Oh, well, so here's the thing. I love Survivor. After San Juan del Sur, of course I want to go back. I mean, that was very apparent by everything that transpired after that season. After Cambodia, I think it just really took a lot out of me, and it's taken me a while to get back just to normal, just like physically, mentally. I mean, it was really, truly exhausting. Mm-hmm. Like a newbie season versus a returning player season. I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. It is totally different. It's completely exhausting. So would I go back? Yeah, of course. I love Survivor and I have unfinished business. I, of course, want to win. But on the other hand, it's not like after San Juan del Sur where I was like, I have to get there now.
Right.
Does that make sense?
So you feel like that you could, you know, pick the right time to do it. It's still important to you, but you're not one of these people that is like, you know, just call me anytime, I'm there.
Sure. I think the best way to say it is that if I go back, I'll be super grateful and excited. But if I never go back, like, that's OK. I'm all right with my story ending how it's ended.
Right. Right. Yes. So yeah. I was trying to tie it back to Nick's quote.
What was it again?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is about. You want to be in love when you go play with the idea of timing.
Oh, you mean the comment that I said? His famous quote?
Yes, his famous quote.
Why would you make love to me if you're not in love with me?
Yes, you want to be in love with the time that you're going to go play.
Yeah, well, something like that. Yeah, we'll leave it there.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah,
for a second, I thought we were talking about Figgy and Taylor again.
No.
Sorry,
were you heartbroken that it didn't work out for them?
Heartbroken. Well, that's one way to put it.
Are you team Figgy after the breakup?
I'm not really team anyone because I don't really look at Survivor as the whole thing kind of doesn't make sense to me, to be honest. It's a little confusing. And then the aftermath is even stranger. And I don't want to go too deep into it, but I will say that at a younger point in my life, I was dating someone who actually did end up having a child with someone else.
And did you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew. Eventually I knew. And so it's all good. Whatever. She'll be fine.
Okay. Wow. So
hide a baby.
So you were going out with a guy and he didn't tell you that he had another woman pregnant?
Right.
Okay. And then you found out and then you were like, I'm out of here, or you're like, let's figure this out.
Oh, no, no, no. Of course it was out of there.
Yeah. Okay.
Who would stick around for that?
Well, maybe you really like the guy.
No way. Not like that. That's just embarrassing. Oh my God. I can't even believe I'm talking about this. We should just move on.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss Michaela already. Oh.
I know. She was very good.
She was great.
She was very good. Yeah. All right, Kelly. Well, this has been so much fun to go through all of this. And I feel like we've gotten to catch up and hear some good stories about what you're up to.
Yes, I think so. Never a dull day, really. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, and tell Nicole, I really like the Halloween. The Snapchats are really funny. It was, I don't know if your listeners caught that, but it was so incredible. I was laughing.
That Nicole tried to pull the switch witch on Dominic because she didn't want him to eat all that candy. And he lives for candy. And it did not go over well.
He was so upset. That was Jimmy Kimmel worthy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he saw every monster imaginable on Halloween. didn't even bat an eye. But the idea of the switch witch coming to take his candy was horrifying to him.
Yeah, it was great, though. That was a funny moment.
You should hope that Taylor doesn't break in and eat all his candy in the middle of the night.
He'll only steal your mason jars.
Kelly, do you have a hashtag for this podcast?
Oh, no. I don't feel like I said anything that was hashtag worthy.
Hashtag worthy. What about the plumber?
The plumber?
I'm trying to think of anything with the plumber.
Like the plumber's crack?
We didn't talk about that. Do you want to raise awareness of people with debit cards near the toilet?
Yeah, what should we say? Like, it was like the great flush of 2016. I don't even know.
I feel like you have something with cards and a flush. I feel like you're almost there with something. What about hashtag find Colleen Haskell?
Oh, I like that. It's kind of long, but I like that.
Get the movement going. Because if you win on a third time, then will you find Colleen Haskell?
If I win on a third time, I would start the podcast, I promise the people, and I would find Colleen.
Yes. Okay. You would begin a serial type podcast to find Colleen.
Kelly, absolutely.
Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
You know, I listen to some. I didn't before.
Forget Survivor. Lately, forget Survivor. I'm not even digging for this podcast. But do you listen to other podcasts?
I do listen to some. I do like the crime ones. I've always been really fascinated by like investigations and cold cases and all that kind of stuff. So I have found some good ones. There's one I'm listening to right now called Up and Vanished, and it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you could follow what Kelly is doing every Sunday when she's tweeting, live tweeting the Seahawks at Kelly Wentworth. And Kelly, it's so nice to have you back. And I'm glad we were able to figure out a time to do this.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Rob. It's always a blast. And hopefully it's not another year and a half.
Yes. And please send my best to Farm Guy 69.
I will. He needs your thoughts because he's healing from broken ribs. He fell.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Second time in 2 years. So maybe people need to tweet him and tell him to be a little more careful.
What, on the bicycle?
On his bicycle.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's got to be careful out there.
I know.
Okay.
So thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it. Fun as always.
All right. Take care, Kelly. All the best.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Kelly Wentworth back here on Rob's the Podcast. Lots of fun to go through everything with Kelly. And again, just make sure you keep those debit cards away from the flushing toilet at all times. So that's going to do it for us here on this recap. The next podcast you're going to hear is that Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions winner Alex Jacob will join me to answer your voicemails. And then after that, we will get back into the BBOTT on Friday. Make sure you don't miss any of that. When you subscribe, special thanks, of course, to all of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, without whom none of this would be possible. So thank you guys as well. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. A special shout out to Scott St. Pierre on the edit of this podcast here today. And take care. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye.